I was watching TV last night. I was relaxing on the sofa. And I heard my wife's voice from the kitchen. She said, "Oh, sweetheart, what would you like for dinner, my love? Chicken, beef, or lamb?" I said, "Well, thank you, darling. I think I'll have chicken." She replied, "You're having peanut butter sandwich." I was talking to the dog. Yeah. Okay. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Galatians. I told you we're going to talk about stewardship. It's not going to be, look, last week I hope people, when I talked about tithing, that you looked at it in a whole different way, that it gave you a whole different attitude and a whole different outlook on tithing. It weren't the kind that beat you up and stuck a gun to your back and robbed you, but instead it was one that you really want to, made you want to do it because you saw the benefits and what God had promised. Amen? God is awesome. In His Word, always. Somebody say always. That's right. Look at somebody and tell them you're looking good. I know you can't help it. That's right. And if you could help it, you would still look good. That's right. Let's see. What was I saying now? Oh, Galatians. I was looking over here. Praise God. Stop and do it. Look, you know, how many people like to multitask? I found out I'm very good at multitasking, except I can't find Galatians. I'm very good at multitasking, except for every now and then. I used to multitask on my jobs all the time. Especially as an engineer, you have to multitask in order to survive. But what I found out was, in multitasking, I found out one of my psychological courses that to multitask temporarily zaps your IQ at least, this is the minimum, it zaps your IQ 10%. Some of us can't afford to lose 10%. I can't. Amen. So just think about it. Next time you're trying to multitask, multitasking zaps your brain. It takes away about 10% of your IQ. And some people, it takes even more away. And I'm not going to point anybody. I'm looking up what I'm saying. Amen. But God is so good all the time. There you go. So Galatians chapter 6. Seven laws of the harvest. We're going to go over this for a couple of weeks. Seven laws of the harvest. Stand for the reading of the word. Galatians chapter 6. I think about the poor man. When I thought about that dog feeding the dogs, I think about that poor man who was on his deathbed. They were expecting to die at any time. He was totally drained, exhausted. He was waiting to take his last breath. And all of a sudden, he smelled his wife's homemade cookies that she hadn't made in years. And he started smelling it, and he said, "Am I going to heaven already?" He said, "No, my wife's cooking those cookies." And so he musters every bit of strength he can. He gets on he falls out of the bed. He crawls to the door. He pulls himself on the knob. He gets up there, and he holds onto the stairs. He goes one stair at a time. Takes him countless minutes to get downstairs. He still smells. It gets greater and greater and greater smell. When he finally gets to the kitchen, he says, "There they are." And he says, "She's making them." And so he reaches down and grabs one. And about the time he grabs one, she slaps his hand and says, "Stop that! That's for your funeral." Yeah, some of y'all got that. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived. Be not deceived by others. Especially be not deceived by Satan, and most of all, be not deceived by your own thinking." The older we get, if we're not careful, the more mature we get, if we're not careful, we begin to think that we're really getting it together and we've got it all together. And if we're not careful, guess what happens? We start deceiving ourselves. So watch this. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I like that when the Bible says, "Whatsoever man saith, he shall have." That word "saith" also can be translated as "soweth" with his mouth. "Whatsoever man soweth with his mouth, he shall have." Here it is here. "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing." In other words, I know you're doing right. And I sometimes look at God and say, God, I keep doing right, but I keep getting wrong. I don't understand it. I keep doing what you said, but I keep getting wrong. I keep stepping out, and the more I step out, it seems like the more my hands get slapped, the more my toes get stepped on. God, when is it going to change? Here's what he said. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Y'all say shall. That's a promise. It's coming. Look at somebody and say it's coming. Look at somebody and tell them check's in the mail. If we faint not, that word faint means give up. If we do not give up, we're going to reap it. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. I know, God, that you have what we need. We, Lord, you had it before we ever needed it. You have it before we ever asked for it. But, God, you set up a system, a set of laws. And, God, in this set of laws, you give man a chance to respond to your word and respond to your urgings and to respond to the moving of the Spirit. And, Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to all of us in a very powerful way right now. Help us, God, to see, to know, to understand that you got something very special waiting for us on the other side. And even right here now, there's some special stuff waiting for us if we follow your way. In the name of Jesus, you're praying, church said, amen. On the way down, get somebody a high five, low five, no five, four and a quarter, and say, God is so good. Amen. Amen. There's Bonnerton and Bakersfield. All the B's over here, all the B row, but here's the Bonnerton district, and there's the Bakersfield district right here. That's the A row, B row. I just want to be on the zero. All right, here we go. Going downhill quick. I'm going to just be quiet. Here we go. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to quit telling jokes. Well, I'm not even going to stop doing that. I'll just keep on somebody laughs. Okay, here we go. Get ready. Get ready. Here we go. God is so awesome. Remember talking about this year? Because it's 2018, I looked up those numbers. I believe in numerology. I believe God is in the numerology. I believe that I'm not talking about some old crazy mess where he's pulling out the cards and all this. I'm talking about numerology. God, there's threes in God's economy. There's seven. Seven's the number of completion. Three's the number of trial. 40. Three's also the number of power and of trial. 12 is the number of wisdom and judgment. So you look at all this stuff. God's got all these numbers. But remember, 2018. So first, 2,000 years ago was the resurrection. 18 in numerology, or and if you number the alphabet, this is 18, and 18 means new life, and 8 means the number of new beginnings. So I honestly can look at this year, and I can see that there's going to be some resurrections, some things you thought were dead and gone, some things you thought would never work, some things you thought would never get back in gear, some things you thought would never even happen. It was over. It was dead. It was buried. It was gone. It's going to resurrect. It's going to have some new life, and there's going to be some new beginnings. Look at how it all lines up. That is amazing how that is. And so look at somebody and tell them, hold on, something's coming. That's right. Y'all can be a little louder. I don't hear you. Hold on, something's coming. Okay. So now, so watch this now. If we want God to fully work in our lives, if we want to really see God work in our lives, then you're going to have to take him off the shelf. You're going to have to polish him off, and you're going to have to set him beside you and let him lead you and guide you. You're going to have to do your part. If you don't do your part, then you just as well not even have God be working for you, because you're waiting for God to spoon feed you. When you're a baby, yes, you get spoon fed. But once you get some age up on you, you start feeding yourself. I love it. I absolutely love it when I hear the cooing and ah-ahs and the coos, and I have to part the lips of a baby to put a pacifier in its mouth, but it gets aggravating when I got a part of mustache to do it. Okay, I'm going to get there eventually. Ready? That's all right. So look. So he sets up these laws, okay? So now let's just kind of see some of his laws. God sets up a system of laws. Of course, these laws are principles that govern. They guide us. That they govern nature. They govern the universe. You can't change these laws. You can try your best, but you cannot change these laws. These laws are universal, meaning that it happens everywhere. It's the same way everywhere you go. How many's ever put dropped a nickel and dropped a feather at the same time and seen which landed the hardest? which landed first? Then how many's ever put it in a vacuum and dropped it and seen the difference? Amen. But you know what? What comes up's got to come down. What you know, there's more room out than there is in. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, the old-fashioned way we talked about it, but they're universal. They're simple. And they're absolute. They're not going to change. These are laws that God set up. And they're stable. And because they're stable, that's when they're decided that they're a law, when they are stable, absolute, that it's not going to change. And I'm just going to tell you a couple of them quickly, and then we're going to go into today's message. Here you go. Know the rules. Amen. Get ready. See, God set up a system of rules. There's the law of gravity. Y'all help me out. What goes up? Amen. There's the law of mathematics. Two parallel lines do not meet. 1 + 1 = 2, except with hamsters and rabbits. My daddy got us 2 hamsters, and in just a little while, we had 28. Daddy kept trying to give them away. He couldn't give them away fast enough. We had them all over the place. They were coming out of our ears, hamsters everywhere. Amen. There's the law of housekeeping. As you make your bed, you will sow. Lay in it, sleep in it. The day you clean is the day your kids bring home guests. Or the day you don't clean, excuse me. Or the day you clean, here's what you want. If I haven't cleaned up, they bring somebody. Or if I do clean up and I don't want it messed up, they bring somebody. Amen. All right, the law of the prophets. This is one of the best ones of all. As the law of the prophets, it says, watch this. It says, what you want men to do to you, you do unto them. Matter of fact, God's laws, if you'll look at His laws, if you'll watch His laws, and you'll see what it says. Come on there, buddy. You can do this. I know you can. I got confidence on you. That's what my grandmama used to say. I got confidence on you, son. Here you go. There we are. God's laws, remember, they're simple. They do not change. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. It will take place. You watch it. Remember me talking about the other night, last week, when I had no longer had dental insurance and Daniel had this real expensive tooth in his mouth and DC knocked it out with a shovel? And there I was on top of the church saying, how am I going to pay for this now because I don't have insurance and I'm really not in a position to put that $1,000 tooth back in his mouth? And in comes a guy to talk to the mechanic I was working with up on the roof. And I said, who is that guy? He says, he's the local dentist. So there he was. I asked him about Daniel's tooth. He said, bring him down here. He looked at him, examined him, and said, he'll be fine. Door, I put it back in. It was getting ready to fall out anyway. Wow. Now, if I'd have had insurance and went to his office, he probably would have fixed it. Okay, we'll leave it alone. Right. There's no dentist in here, is there? there was a dentist. He had a pipe break in his house, so he called for a plumber. The plumber came with a $2 pipe and took him about 15 minutes. He changed the pipe and said, it'll be $150. He said, $150 for a little piece of tube and a 15 minutes worth of work? He said, yeah, it's $150 an hour. You're paying for my service call. No matter what, you're paying $150. He said, I'm a dentist. I don't make that kind of money. He said, I know. I used to be a dentist. You reap what you sow. Whenever you cast your bread upon the water, the Bible says it'll come back. Whatever you do, if you take care of people, I learned a long time ago, if you help enough people meet their need, then there's going to be God and them helping you meet yours. If you help enough people get what they're desiring to get, I'm not talking about some Mickey Mouse mess, but you're helping somebody, it will come back to you. There was this one lady I heard about. She had a desire. She lived in a poor neighborhood, and she was law enforcement. She lived in a poor neighborhood, and those kids had a bad school, and it was really kind of rough. It was an inner city, and she wanted to be able to give those kids some good books, and then she's trying to give them some good books, and she's trying to get something for them. She didn't have any money, and one night she got an alarm, and she goes in and checks this alarm in this warehouse, and she sees thousands upon thousands upon thousands of books. They were getting ready to discard because they had minor glitches in them and minor cosmetic problems. And so they were going to destroy all these thousands and thousands and thousands of books that were the age group for the kids she wanted to help. So she goes to the owner and says, what are you going to do with these books? He said, we're going to destroy them. She said, well, you know what? I'm trying to get something going for the kids around here. They don't have anything. It would really be nice if I could get these books. He said, you can have these books and anyone else that comes along. And not only did she get a chance to give these books free, she was trying to help the man, and the man wound up helping her, giving her all these books. And not only that, but she got the books that came afterwards and wound up building a foundation. And it was amazing what had happened. But it all started with her trying to help those kids and her trying to help that man and how God intervened. You reap what you sow. I can't say it enough. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, but you reap what you sow. You can't change it. You can try. I'm going to get right down to rubber meets the road. If you've got, I hear people say, everybody I meet's got the meanest, roughest attitude. Everybody I meet's right sour. And I want to go say, well, why don't you look in the mirror and you'll see why. If everybody you meet has that, if everybody you know has a problem, then the problem's not them. Look in the mirror. Because you're reaping what you sow. So now here we go. Let's go ahead now. We're going to get past the boomerang here. Praise God. And we're going to talk a little bit. Ready? Y'all ready? All right. Praise God. So here we go. God set up this system of laws, and because there are no laws more important or significant than the principles that govern the harvest that we reap, here's what we're going to talk about. This is the most important thing in your life. Next to knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that gets you ready for heaven. But this is how you handle it on earth. It's very important. It's called the law of harvest. Again, whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Mom used to tell me, Mama's way of telling me was, son, every night when I go out on a date, every night when I go out and party with the guys when I was a teenager, whatever I do when I leave the house, Mama would say, remember, son, if you dance, you got to pay the fiddler. Anybody ever heard that? Or she'd say, remember, son, if you make that bed, you're going to have to sleep in it, so you better make it right. So again, that's the hillbilly version, the possum track version of sowing and reaping. Life is an echo. What you send out comes back. It's a boomerang. It's an echo. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in others exists in you. Did you know that? If somebody's driving you crazy with some of their attitudes and driving you crazy on a consistent basis, maybe it's because you see something in them that you don't even like in yourself and you don't even realize you're doing it. I've known people that just chewed up other people over things, and I want them to say, look, I've told them, look, while you're beating them up over this, I want you to do me a favor. Go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and beat that person in the mirror up, because that person's doing the exact same thing that you're mad at them for what they're doing. If you need understanding, give understanding. If you need love, give love. If you need God to bless you in your finances, then give some away. You need help? Then go help somebody else. You need some arms, then you go be arms for somebody else. I'm telling you, it's important. It cannot be changed. God set up this law. This law is eternal. It is simple and it is universal. It works even with people that don't know Jesus Christ. They know some of these rules. And this is one of the rules they know and they practice. I've seen people, I don't believe in God, but I believe in reaping what you sow. And so they go around and do it, and then God blesses them abundantly. So now watch this. Laws of the harvest. The laws of the harvest can be divided into seven laws and three basic principles. And we're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. First is, listen to this now. Harvest, please listen carefully. Your harvest is always a consequence. I don't like what I'm getting, God. I don't like what's happening to me. I don't like what's happening here. I don't like the way this thing's going. I don't like it going south like it's going. Of course, we do have battles, and there is, don't let me go get it mixed up. There is battles that we have to fight, and there's all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about the consequence, harvest, what you are getting. Your harvest is always a consequence. You always, always, somebody say always. You always reap what you sow. That's not my word. That's his. Matter of fact, you know what I want to be talking about? I want to be talking about families. I've been been dealing in sociology right now, Christian sociology, and the Lord has inspired me in a bunch of different ways to put some sermons on family. I want to do that today, and even Valentine's is coming up, and so I did that little thing about Valentine's, but the Lord just keeps telling me, tell the people, show the people, don't be slack, show the people. This is more important right now. So last week, this week, and in the weeks to come. Harvest is a consequence. You can't blame somebody else for your harvest. Come on. Help me out here. Y'all getting awful quiet. There's the pen I heard drop last week. I can hear it again. Amen. So here we go. Hey. Your harvest is always a consequence. Always. So now, so let's watch this now. We're going to get on by. We're going to get on through here. I'm going to go ahead and try to get y'all out of here so y'all can go. Y'all can get rid of the old me look. Ready? Whosoever sows generously shall also reap generously. If I go down the row and put one kernel of corn every 12 foot, or I go down and put 3 kernels of corn every 6 inches, or I just sow it straight on down, that determines how much corn I'm going to get. I can blame y'all. Well, it's your fault that my corn isn't doing like it can. My corn isn't good as yours. Mine is only getting up one stalk. Why am I only getting one stalk and you got 3? Well, maybe because they planted 3 kernels of corn and you planted 1. How come yours is all the way down just as pretty and bountiful and mine is scarce? Because they planted all the way down and they planted generously. Whosoever sows generously, it's not me talking, it's the Bible. Whosoever sows generously shall reap generously. So now let's just see a little bit into this and then I'm going to let y'all go. I've only got about 50 slides. I'm playing. Nice. I'm generous. That's right. I'm going to be generous with those slides. Okay, so the first law can be divided in, watch this. If we all start reaping, watch this, watch carefully. We reap from what we sow, and we also reap from what others sow. Sometimes we reap from what our children sow. Sometimes we reap from what our wife or our husband sows. Sometimes we reap from what our boss sows. So our direct harvest is what we sow, but our indirect harvest is from what other people sow around us. So watch this. But sowing always, 100% of the time, sowing always involves seeds. Seeds equal potential. They found some seeds in one of the pyramids. They found the seeds because when Pharaoh died, they put seeds in there. They even killed a servant and put a servant in there to have for the next life, put his animals in there and put all these in there with him, put stuff with him, put weapons with him, put housewares, and even put seeds so he could have it in the next life. Well, they found this seed, and these seeds are several thousand years old. But these seeds were still stored in the pyramids. Thousands of years old, they take the seeds and they plant it in the ground. And it sprouted. You see, some of us carry our seeds in our pocket and wonder why it's not growing. I don't understand. I started. I'm going to let these pennies be seeds. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Isn't that cool? God's number. When I came here today, I had 7 pennies. You know what? I still got 7 pennies. When I leave them, I have 7 pennies. Why? God even says, well, go ahead and put it in your pocket, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you neglect to sow the seed, I'm going to help a hole form in that pocket. What Haggai said, you put money in bags with holes in it. But if I plant it, wow, if I plant it, something amazing happens. This is just seeds. It don't have to be money. It can be It can be how I handle people. It can be going and helping somebody, reaching out and being a hand for somebody else, or going out of my way and forget about myself and help somebody else. Doing something above and beyond. We went to the Penitentiary Center Thursday night. We planted a whole lot of seeds. A whole lot of seeds. You know what? It took time. It took effort. And bless our hearts, we were so tired and wore out by the end, we could barely make it to Krispy Kreme. Okay, we weren't wore out, but this Krispy Kreme sure tasted good. Amen. Okay. Amen. That was our reward. Amen. So here we go. All right. So here we go. Seed equals potential. Seeds always produce a harvest. Harvest, of course, is results. So if you keep them in your pocket, the results are going to be, if I hear people all the time, I want one day, this person was having problems with his family. He was having big problems with his family. I walked up on him. He was outside and he was praying. Not praying, just sitting in the swing. And I looked at him. He said, I'm having this problem with my family. I said, really? I said, it's because they don't think you care about them. They don't care, think you even have any concern about them. He says, but I sit here every morning. Didn't say praise. I think about them, every one of them individually, every day, and think about what they're going through and blah, 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 blah. And it's very concerning to me. And I said, have you ever told them that? He said, no, they know that. Really, that's why everybody thinks that you're an old bag. A grumpy old man. Because when they come around, you get them like this. You should know better. Blah, 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 blah. But in the morning when you get up, you're going, he's having a problem. I wonder what we could do to make it better. Blah, 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 blah. But he never tells him. He never shows him. See, a blessing that's not spoken is not a blessing at all. It's a blessing withheld. So while you got a chance, you tell those people in your life that you love them. While you got a chance, you tell them that you want to work with them. You tell them that they're doing a great job. You tell them why they're still here. Because, I stood over a many a coffin. And I just looked at that person in there and I thanked them and I said, but you know what? They're not hearing this. I should have thanked them when they were here. Well, it's pretty noble of me standing over the coffin and go, thank you so much for what you've done. Yeah, they didn't hear that. They're in heaven rejoicing. But you see, you got to remember, you reap what you sow. So here we go. I'm almost through. I said almost. Well, okay, maybe. All right. So here we go. Get ready. If you want kindness, be kind. If you want friends, be friendly. The Bible says if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. If you want help, be helpful. If you want love, be loving. If you want respect, respect yourself. I was in Lowe's yesterday, and I was trying to do some plumbing work, and I went in Lowe's and got the stuff, and I come back home, and it was the wrong stuff, and I went back. Well, I'm down the aisle getting my stuff again. Everybody's busy. They're not waiting on me, so I'm going to have to wait on myself. One guy came by and said, you don't know anything about plumbing. I said, that's obvious. This is my second trip. Duh. And when I went to go out, there was a young lady at the checkout counter, and for just the strangest reason, I just heard the Lord say, just bless her. Lift her up. And so I said, well, I really don't know what to do right now. Honestly, I was going to lift her up. So I just said, she said, you got my Lowe's card? And I said, why would I have your Lowe's card? And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's all I'm talking about. She laughed. And I said, you have such a beautiful smile. Matter of fact, your hair is gorgeous. You know, I can see you're going places. You know. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody else, and then somebody else, and somebody else. And before long, I had people hugging me everywhere and talking to me and blah, blah, blah. And I was giving high fives and low fives. Yeah, you're looking good, blah, blah. And I had my card stuck in the reader, and I hit the wrong button. And she said, I think you hit the wrong button. I said, yeah, I'm multitasking. Lost 10% of my brain right then. I said, no, I'm too busy talking with everybody else. I should be paying attention to this. I said, but, you know, I'm so shy. And she said, I don't think that's a problem. When I left out, though, the Lord showed it to me. I was blessing her. And while I was blessing her, four or five people come up and blessed me. Immediately. It wasn't like down the road. Immediately. While it was coming out of my mouth to her, people were coming up hugging on me and giving me high fives and all kinds of stuff. And it was just so amazing that I was trying to be a blessing to her and lift her up. And while I was lifting her up, here come these others being a blessing to me. Wow. If you need to be lifted up, lift up somebody else. You can't walk around looking like you've been sucking on lemon juice and kissed a mule right square in the mouth. The other night I was going to go to prison, and my dog came up loving on me. And I'm getting to walk out the door. My dog's loving on me. I said, "Hey, Maddie, how you doing, girl?" And about time she stuck her nose right in my mouth. It was terrible. I said, "Oh, that tastes awful." And Linda says, "You don't know the worst of it. She just had her nose up Inky's butt." TMI. You gotta be a blessing. Amen. So here we go. Look, let me finish reading this. You will most often get more of the things that matter in life by giving them first than you will ever get by trying desperately to get them or asking for them. I learned a long time ago when I was at Procter & Gamble, when I was at Fountain, I didn't have to ask people when they were working with me. I didn't have to say, "Y'all need to listen to what I say. You need to do exactly what I say. Blah, 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 blah." Because I always try to think, how would I feel if I was telling me something I needed to do? Or if I was in a bind or something, how would I handle this? And so again, you know, and it was just wonderful. We had a wonderful relationship. But it's because I knew that whatever I sowed, I was going to reap. So now, reaping from what others sow. Okay, get ready. I'm getting close. Reaping what others sow. See, now we can receive positive blessings because of, think about this. The greatest person that we reap from what others sow, the greatest person I can think of is what God has done on our behalf. The cross. It was His decision. It was His action. And what others have done on our behalf. There's others that have made right choices. We're in a nice church today because somebody made the right choices to build this church and to make it like it is. And right actions. Some people still keep it up and keep it going. So we're blessed by this. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. There's think about in your own house. There's things you're blessed about because your parents did for you or your children are doing for you now. It's just amazing when you think about how you're reaping rewards that you didn't even have to sow because they sowed before you. That's the indirect harvest. Amen. But it has a big impact on you. But it's also negative. Amen. Sometimes we reap what others have sown, bad choices and bad actions. There's kids that went hungry last night because their parents made bad choices. There's people that were abused last night because their spouse or somebody else made bad choices. So there's positive, the cross, good things. But there's also negative, bad choices, bad actions. So now get ready. That's the indirect harvest. But then there is the direct harvest. I like this. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. I try to remember that all the time. I was watching Bethany, and I was watching her in Walmart one day. I was watching how she was handling people. And there was somebody that was trying to get their child up, and there was some problems. She was trying to help pick that child up, and she put stuff over. And there was somebody else was having a hard time. She went, and of course, she knew the person. She put her arm around him, and she started loving on him, and she said, "It's going to be okay." Just that one day, watching her for about 15, 20 minutes, how she ministered to so many people. And when she got through, I said, "You know what, girl? That was amazing. I'm so proud of you." And she said, "Well, Dad, I learned it from you." Well, my head didn't swell up because then she did something stupid. "I learned it from you." Touche. I have to tell you this. This is hilarious. Beth, are you in here? Okay, well, she already knows it. She wouldn't mind if she does. I'll just reap what I just sowed. Okay, ready? I was working doing some more plumbing before the other night. I had two different plumbing jobs. I was working this first plumbing job. And I was putting a pop-up in the sink. And as I'm putting a pop-up in the sink, I got it all taken out. I got tools everywhere. I've got everything pulled out from under the sink. And I said, no, Bethany would go meet the Lowe's. I got to get the pop-up for the sink. She said, no, Dad, I'm kind of tired. I don't want to go. I said, all right. I said, I'll be right back. I told Linda, I'll be right back. She said, okay, dear, take your time. I said, yeah, but I need to come back and get this so I can go to bed. So while I'm in the, I decided to stop by the Dollar Tree, too. So I stopped by the Dollar Tree to pick up some stuff, and the phone rings. And Bethany goes, Dad, I want to apologize. I said, for what? She said, nobody told me you were fixing the sink. Didn't I just ask her that she wanted to go to Lowe's with me? And she said, I didn't even know that you were working there. There was tools everywhere, tools in the sink, tools all over the place. The stuff was pulled out. She said, but I washed my hands. There was a little bit of water went down the drain. And you know, Flipper. So I said, dear, so I go in there and there's a mess everywhere. And I'm trying to clean up the mess. She started cleaning up. I went and finished cleaning up. But the most profound thing Eddie Edwards has ever said. Me and Eddie are riding down the road the next day. Eddie, this is probably the greatest thing you've ever said. It's so full of wisdom and understanding. It made me feel right at ease after he said this. He said, so you're working in the plumber. I said, yeah. I said, but let me tell you what happened last night. I told him the story I just told y'all. And Eddie, in his wisdom, and he needed to put a little block up, a little store thing, a little thing up here in Walmart and charge 5 cents like Lucy on the peanuts for advice. Eddie said, well, at least you know she's not an idiot. I said, where's he going with this? I said, why is that, Eddie? He said, because even an idiot would look at it and say, somebody's working on that scene. Thank you, Eddie. That made it all worth it. I've gotten a few miles out of that one in other ways, too. Because the next night, what happened was the seal broke again. After I put the seal in, the seal actually broke, and it was leaking. So I said, Bethany, help me. And so I'm taking the gooseneck out, and it's got water in it. I'm under the sink. Bethany's helping me. I'm under the sink. It's got water in it, so I'm trying not to get it. I pulled it down, trying not to spill it. And I'm looking up, and I take it and throw it right back in the sink. And she says, well, at least you're not an idiot, Dad. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. All right. Okay, here we go. So let's go ahead and go. I'm getting carried away here. Let's go. All right. Reaping what we sow. We can receive positive or we can receive negative. Matter of fact, it's from what we plant. You have choices every day. I have to think about that sometimes. I'm thinking, do I really want to let them have it? Do I really want to give it to them? You know, do I really want to let them know, you know, like the guy pulled in front of me, sped past me, and he parked in a handicapped spot and jumped out of his car, didn't have a handicapped sticker, and run in the drugstore, and I was so mad, I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. You have no idea parking in a handicapped spot. Handicapped people should be. You about run me over, my family. I ought to get you. I'm in the drugstore anyway, so I was thinking about it. I heard a man say, hurry, hurry, hurry. My child has a very high fever. The doctor told me I need to give her this medicine now. Oh. Open foot. That was my mouth. It's her foot. I'm glad I didn't give him peace of my mind. I couldn't afford to lose that much. So, our choices. Not only our choices, but our actions. How are you? How am I handling today? How am I doing today? You know, remember years ago, remember Christmas time, it was years ago, and I was going to get DC a camera for Christmas. I don't know if you remember this camera. It was one of the first digital cameras. It was about as big as a house. And they had them on sale. They were normally $300. It was that. Back when they didn't have, when they had Black Friday on Black Friday, not on Thursday. And they had them at Walmart, and they were on sale for like $79, $59, $69, really a $300 camera. And I get ready to run. I'm running into Walmart to get this thing. And I walk in, and here's this lady pushing this cart. And there's, she got carts and kids, and she's trying to get them out the store. And she's so just, you can see she was just, ah. And she's trying to push, and she can't get them. And I said, and the Lord said, you need to help that lady. I said, I'm trying to get that camera. There's only a few of them in the store. I said, I can't afford to miss that camera. He said, you can't afford not to help that lady. And I said, but Lord, and I argued with him. Of course, he won. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, oh, thank you. Nobody's even trying to help. They're just pushing me down, pushing me over. So I got one of her carts, and she got a cart, and we watched the kids, and we went out, and she was parked at the other end of the parking lot. I'm thinking, there goes the camera. But the other end of the parking lot, and bless her heart, I think if she was to be resurrected as an animal, she'd have been a sloth. Because she went. And I said, the camera! She goes, huh? I said, nothing. Then I thought maybe she thought she was on Dancing with the Stars. I wasn't sure. We finally get everything in her car. And I said, is that it? She says, that's it. And before she could grab it, I slammed the door down for her. And I grabbed the cart, and I run to the store. I got in there, and I said, and there, where the counter was, where all those cameras were all gone. I said, now, Lord, you told me to help that woman. You look out for me. And I said, now I've lost those cameras. And one of the persons behind the counter says, can I help you, sir? I said, no, nah, never mind. I said, I wanted one of those cameras, but she said they've been gone for They've been gone for 10 minutes. I've been out in the yard for 10 minutes. I said, well, okay, never mind. She said, and I started walking away. And as I'm walking away, she said, sir, hold on just a minute. I said, what? She said, the strangest thing, there's one under the counter. Here, you can have it. See, the Lord showed me. Do his business. He'll take care of yours. And DC got the camera. Amen. It was pretty cool. All right. So now, remember, listen to this carefully. Every choice, every action that you make today, even right now, as we're sitting here, every choice, every action is seed. It is potential. You can listen and you can learn and say, God, help me apply it to my life. And things will go good, or you can sit there and go, you know what? He don't know what he's talking about. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? It just as well be water on a duck's back, and you go over here saying, wait a minute, what did he say? It's important. You see, we can reap negative. See, if you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. The craziest thing, D.C., Daniel, and Beth all did this. DC's a little thing. After he finally got some hair, now he's got a head full. I remember one day he was screaming. And I walked in. I said, what is wrong? He had a handful of hair. And he's pulling it and crying. Son, nobody's hurting you but you. Let go of your hair. Daniel did the same thing. Bethany decided she didn't like broccoli. Beverly decided she was going to make her eat it anyway. She sat at the table for, I kid you not, DC will test about 45 minutes with the broccoli in her mouth. She wouldn't swallow it because she didn't like the way it tasted. In your mouth for 45 minutes. Wouldn't swallow it. I said, Bethany, does it taste bad? Mm-hmm. You know how to get rid of it? You can't spit it out. Mama's looking. Mm-hmm. What you going to do? Ooh, swallow! Right here, we're sowing tomato seeds trying to get apples. We're sowing lemon seeds trying to get oranges. You got to sow the right thing if you want to get the right thing. So here it goes. Negative. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, which means, hey, nothing's going to, vanity doesn't necessarily mean you think you bad to the bone. Vanity sometimes means emptiness. You're doing this in vain. Those that have sown the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8:7. James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. There's a sin of commission and a sin of omission. A sin of commission, if I walked up and I did somebody harm, I actually put my hands on them and hurt them. That's a sin of commission. But if I saw somebody being abused and I could stop it and I don't and I walk away from it, that's a sin of omission. I could have done something and I didn't. What I've discovered is the greatest sin in the church is a sin of omission. Because we should be doing things and we're not. Wait for somebody else to do it. Somebody else can take care of this. I'm tired. Well, we're all tired. You know, we've all got things to do. We've all got problems. We've all got to make it. What we do is when we pull together, we lighten the load tremendously. So, again, now we can reap what we sow. Now, watch this. Did I go backwards? I think I just went backwards again. Here's positive. Here we go. I don't know why it keeps doing that. I don't do it anywhere but up there. Psalm 126, it says, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bringeth bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I remember the Andy Griffith Show. Every time they sang in church, it was bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Remember that? Of course, in the Mouse Church, they sang bringing in the cheese. Bringing in the cheese. Okay, here we go. Galatians 6:9-10. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. As we therefore have our opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Wow. Again, life is an echo. What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in others actually exists in you. So, here's my question. I'm getting ready to close. Y'all musicians, not magicians. Leave your rabbits out there. Musicians, you get ready. Here it goes. Here's my question. What are you sowing? Positive or negative? If you're sowing negative, you say, well, I'm not sowing anything. How can that be negative? That's very negative. I come from a long line of farmers, Possum Track farmers. And I never heard my granddaddy or my uncles say, well, we were expecting a big harvest this year, but I'm going to sit in the house, I'm going to sail on these seeds, and I'm expecting to come up on their own. I used to watch my granddaddy go out, and he'd do his planting, and then he would make his own little greenhouse and have fields with the plastic over top of it. And I watched him so carefully and gingerly handle that seed. And as he handled that seed, I watched him. He took that seed, and something amazing would come from it. I said, Granddaddy, why are you taking such care of that seed? He says, if I take care of the seed and plant it properly, it'll take care of my family the whole year. And then there was a little field he had, just one field. And I said, well, Granddaddy, what's that field? He said, I can't touch that field. When I harvest, he says, that field is God's field. He said, all these other fields are mine. When I go to market, that field belongs to God. So I learned a lot from my granddaddy. First, taking care of the seed. Getting it ready for planting, and then planting it, and then taking care of it and harvesting. He was a good farmer. From what I understand, my great-granddaddy was one of the biggest farmers in that area. But my granddaddy also taught me about that one field that was God's. He said, I wanted God's blessings on the rest of it. And so I'll give this to God and trust Him with the rest. Amazing. Amazing. What are you planting? Positive or negative? Again, life is an echo. What you send out comes back. If you're snappy at people, if you're rough with people, if you're intolerant of people, if you're impatient with people, it's going to come back. People are going to be impatient with you, intolerant of you. If you hold on to everything and just keep it to yourself, don't be surprised when you need something that you don't see people reaching out trying to help take care of your need. If every situation you get into is always serious, and it's always rough, every situation, again, stop looking around. And start looking in. That position I had at Fountain. People hated the industrial engineering manager. They hated industrial engineering. Because they said we caused them so much problems and so much heartaches. We tried to keep them doing the regulations. The other engineers even had problems with us because we were always going around telling them, you're not doing this right, blah, 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 blah. I told my people, I said, we're going to see a change in this. They said, how? I said, you watch. Instead of standing up in the ivory tower and calling down instructions, we got on the floor and we walked the floor. And I put my arms around people. And when things happen, I tell them, look, you hold on. We're not here to fire you. We're here to help you. And started helping people. And started loving on people. It was amazing. Not only were we no longer hated, we found our group was loved. People say, how can we come to work in your area? And it's all because I told my people every day, you reap what you sow. Be cheerful when you go out there. Smile when you go out there. I was a disc jockey for about a year. I did gospel music time in the afternoon when I was pastoring Benson. And the station manager came to me one day and he said, you're not doing that right. I said, what? I'm pushing all the buttons you said. I'm doing everything. He said, no. Whenever you flip that switch and you're broadcasting, no matter how bad you feel, you smile. I said, I'm on the radio. Matter of fact, somebody told me I had a face for radio. He said, that smile will go out and people will feel it. And from that day forth, whenever I hit that broadcast button, I made sure I was smiling. Because people were out there needing a touch. They were needing help. And it was amazing what a smile can do. Matter of fact, a smile is a cheap facelift. Did you know that? Want everybody to stand. God is so good to us. I sent this out on the Mighty Army a little while back. It's not that God has quit being good. It's just we've learned to quit being thankful. I got some people in my family just expect. They don't give, they just expect. A relationship has to be balanced. Always has to have some balance in it. Every relationship has to have balance. I know some people, though, that just give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me. And when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. Just give me, give me, give me. I need you, but don't call me if you need me. And it makes it hard to help them. Then there's others that bend over backwards to help. And I can't wait to be good to those folks. Because I know they're going to be good to me. It's balance in a relationship. You want some positive balance in your relationships? You want some positive balance in your job? You want some positive balance? Change the way you are. You can't change anybody else. Change what you're dishing out. If you can change what you're dishing out, you watch things change. One time I had a guy was doing marriage counseling years ago. And this guy said, my wife, blah, 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 my wife, blah, 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 my wife, blah, 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 my wife, blah, 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 blah. And I said, can we just stop for a second? Let me get a word in edgewise. He said, okay. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm not doing anything. I'm tired of it. I said, but you're here. You said you want to see the marriage saved, but all you can talk about is your wife, blah, 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 blah. You're not doing anything. He said, no. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. I wrote him some directions, wrote him some things to do, and gave him some scriptures, and I gave him a book, and I said, I want you to take this home, do this stuff with your wife, and I want you to read this book. I'll see you in a week. I come back in a week, and I said, how's things going? He said, well, I'm doing what you told me to do. He said, but the craziest thing is, my wife is changing. I said, really? He said, yeah. I'm doing what you told me to do. You said the only person I could change is myself, and I'm changing me. But the craziest thing is, she's changing. I said, I spent 30 minutes telling you that the other night, but you wouldn't listen. You had to see it for yourself. You reap what you sow. If you sow nothing, then you're going to reap a bunch of nothing. If you sow negative, you're going to reap negative. If you sow positive, positive's coming. With every head bowed, every eye closed. First, you might be here this day, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, but nobody else looking around, I'm not going to make an obstacle out of you. I just want to pray with you, and I can do it right from your seat. I'll be right up here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you want to know Him as your Savior, remember, you reap what you sow. This is sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you want to, with nobody looking around, can you just slide that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of gone the other way. Things have gotten kind of rough. You've gone backwards, and you're needing God to help you. When nobody's looking around, would you slide that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Things have been going kind of backwards, and I need God. Then we turn things around. Bless them, Lord. Bless them mightily right now in the name of Jesus. Let them see a turnaround so powerful that it just amazes them how quickly you did it. Maybe you're here right now, and you just need some help because you know that maybe you're receiving because you sowed some bad seed. You're needing to rethink the harvest and rethink the crop and rethink what you're sowing. But you need God to give you wisdom and understanding, and you need God to help you in this area. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's at your work. But you've been sowing some rough stuff and getting rough stuff back and wondering, I don't understand this, God. Your word's not working. It's working perfectly. You reap what you sow. If that is you right now, with nobody looking around, we just stick the hand up and say, help me, Pastor. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I need to see some positive. I need to see some good seed spring up. I need to see God do something powerful in my life. And I'm going to start planting positive as of today. Now, if you've got another need, any need whatsoever, and you want to come up here and pray, come on up here to this altar and pray. Come on and pray. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. God's got this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Meet every need in that mighty man's life. Touch him right now. Bless him. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. God's awesome. All the time. God is awesome. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. God's awesome. He always keeps His word. He does what He says He's going to do. You can trust Him. You can depend on it. If we act on His word will act on us. If we act on His word will act through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, I'm ready for a good harvest. I'm ready for a good harvest. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory! Glory! Glory to the Lamb of God. So sing it. My Savior God, to Thee how great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. My Savior God, to Thee how great Thou art. How great Thou art. I got a challenge for you. Here's the challenge. I want you, but nobody else is looking because somebody think you're crazy. I want you to go in the bathroom or go to the vanity somewhere, and I want you to look in it. Look at you. And I want you to practice talking like you normally talk at work. Practice talking. I know sometimes somebody looks at me and go, are you upset? No, I'm happy. Well, why are you looking like that? Practice what you look like, because that's part of your sowing. When people come up to you, they look at you. Right to start with and go, well, this is going to be a bad day. Practice. Matter of fact, that's what you do. Let's sing that. He taught me how. Come on. I don't even know the words. Somebody needs to help me out. Night and day. There you go. Come on. Night and day. I'm going to make them up if y'all don't help me. Oh, happy day. There you go. Oh, happy day. There you go. Do that one. Oh, happy day. Aha. When Jesus washed. Did He wash it? When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. God's good. Don't forget on Tuesday nights now, we have We've been having Bible study in the little room over there, and we've been having cake and the bread of life in cake, so you can literally have your cake and eat it too. All right, we've had cake and whatever y'all want to bring, and coffee and hot chocolate, and it's been cool. Well, warm, the coffee's been hot, but still, it's been good. Amen? Come on, you're going to love it. God's awesome. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you blessed us today with the Word, and that the Word will be entered into our hearts and our minds, and we'll be able to carry it out and share it with somebody this week. Let everybody be blessed and be safe going and coming. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.